The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, Raheel, and Dell with you. Dell is back from his vacation watching your Hurricanes. They came back, right? They came back and beat Wisconsin.
No.
I just knew Wisconsin got the cover. I can't remember if
that was an atrocious performance.
Oh, that's right, because your coach quit football forever.
That's fine. He probably...
After 1 year at Miami, he's like, this is terrible.
It was three. Let's be clear, it was three. I think as far as people around the program and fans, this is the best possible outcome. Now, some people wanted a bit more of a extensive search. It took them like 10 hours to convince Manny to not go to Temple. Manny Diaz, former Texas failed defensive coordinator, now the head coach of Miami. But everyone knew... Even if Rick stayed, the offense was going to have to be completely revamped. And that meant Rick was going to have to fire his son, Thomas Brown, who was his guy at Georgia, actually was his running back at Georgia. His offensive line coach from Georgia, Stacy Cereals. All those guys are going to have to go. All of his buddies. He decided, I'd rather step down than have to do that.
So that's why he did it?
Pretty much. He was going to have to fire his guys and start fresh.
Is Manny bringing a whole new staff?
Oh, they're all out.
They're all out.
Everybody in offense is gone. Okay. So we're starting. That's why Larry Fedora is the name that has come up. Former OC at Southern Miss and Oklahoma State. Fired from North Carolina, but the guy knows offense. So that would finally bring a spread up tempo offense.
He was a head coach at USM, wasn't he?
He
went to.
Yeah, North Carolina. At USM, but he called plays there. He was a play caller and the head coach.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. So that's a guy who would bring something to Miami that we have never seen. And it's weird because Miami, with all the players they have down there high school wise, you would think they'd be running an up tempo spread them out horizontally and vertically. He would be the guy for that. That's what people have been clamoring for. Let's see if a deal gets done. Manny's going to get introduced today.
That was awesome, by the way. Manny Diaz goes to Temple, tweets all the stuff about, man, I'm so proud to be here. That was his first head coaching gig.
Now he's on his second.
And he was like, yeah, you know, I committed to you guys. Temple, thank you, but there's just a better job.
He literally didn't coach a game.
Yeah, he left undefeated.
They got payout money. For Jeff Collins and Manny Diaz, Temple did this offseason.
$6 million.
Yeah. Over $6 million, yes. For two coaches.
Manny helped them finish off the early signing day, period.
Yeah.
And then the Rick retirement happened, and he goes, I'll take this job.
It's like Temple invested in Bitcoin before everybody. They got in and got $6 million.
Yeah, I know.
They got in on the boom before everybody. That is awesome. That's the new thing for small schools. You go sign coaches, and then... They sign that contract, and then you hope to get another job, and you get a buyout. Like what? What's the difference?
Oh, yeah, I wonder who Temple's going to grab now. It'll be I don't wonder. It's Temple. I don't really care. It is weird. It's going to be weird to see Georgia Tech, you know, actually run an offense, a modern offense, because Paul Johnson retired. So they were the only school not named Georgia Southern or the Service Academies to run that offense. So Georgia Tech's going to throw the ball down the field?
They're going to have to relearn football?
Yeah, because that offense is so unique. How many players on that offensive side of the ball can actually play in a normal offense? Because the quarterbacks can't. They were either option quarterbacks in high school or like running backs who they shifted into quarterback. Good luck, Jeff Collins. It might take a while to transition into a normal offense.
The other coaching news, Cliff Kingsbury signs a deal with USC, becomes their offensive coordinator. And he's like, yeah, but look, I just got a request on Indeed.com from the Jets. From
the Jets and the Cardinals. Apparently the Cougars, too.
Oh, yeah, the Cougars he turned down.
Allegedly, he interviewed the Cougars, and he turned it down, and now they're going to hire Dana.
The Cougars, like, headhunter reached out to him. Hey, are you interested in coaching? And he's like, nah, I'm not with you guys, sorry. Well, but it's a very lucrative offer.
Well, they said he interviewed, and I guess he turned it down. Maybe it was just an offer. I thought I saw where it was an interview. But, yeah, Cliff is in high demand. It is a weird thing. Hey, I couldn't make it in Lubbock. The Big Apple wants me. New York wants me to coach.
It's because of the whole, everyone wants that new offense, which isn't that new, by the way.
No, it's not that new.
College football's been doing it for years now, right? Decades. And now it's in demand because of the quarterbacks that have come out of college football, grew up in that offense. Mm-hmm. So it's only right that you bring guys that know that offense better than anybody.
Yeah.
You're right. Like the natural progression, it doesn't make any sense. But we're also in a phase right now with coaching that you're just trying to get coaches that fit your personnel more than getting a coach and then getting personnel that fits them.
You have to do – so it used to be about – like they're doing it much smarter now where it really is about more and more – I think more and more college coaches – look, I was shocked. First of all, we haven't really talked about this at all, but the Dana Holgorsen coming to Houston – that's probably going to be some quality of life stuff. We've never seen this, right? I don't think I've ever seen a Power 5 coach go to a non-Power 5 team. It's the first time we've seen it. I don't think we'll see it very often at all. It really doesn't make any sense other than Houston has an owner who has a casino and an NBA team.
He's not an owner. He's on the board.
No, I'm talking about Tillman.
Yeah, but he's not an owner.
No, Tillman owns
the Cougars. He can't own a university.
Not according to Pete Thamel.
Okay. He doesn't have. He doesn't have an arena named after him.
But he can fire and hire people, right?
It's a center, isn't it? It's not exactly. An arena. It's a center.
It's a center. It's where people congregate and you have a minister, to watch basketball.
And you have a minister of who's culture. An actor.
Yeah. We have a minister
of culture.
I bring you guys here because we are going to worship
at the altar of Shaka.
Yes.
Better get your ass to a Sweet 16.
You better be worshiping this year.
We are trying to worship at the altar of matchup zones.
I just want to see him. But, yeah, no. Are you sure he's not the owner of Houston?
I'm pretty sure.
I know he
is. And then I know he is.
Couture is, she is the vice president of operations or CEO.
I thought she's not Tad Brown.
Is it Billion Dollar Buyer?
Someone called her princess on Twitter.
Oh, that's princess. Degrading.
Like a cougar called her the princess, which was, isn't she the president?
She's the president of a public institution. Have some respect,
people.
Wait.
Is he the king of Houston?
I think that might have been the point of the tweet.
Yeah. Is Tillman the king of Houston or owner of Houston?
He is the king.
Commandant?
I think he's the owner of the Houston.
He's a hardworking
Cougars.
Billionaire.
Well, whatever. He didn't want Major there anymore, so Major's gone. Then he goes, we'll give you $4 million for 5 years, Dana. And Dana's like, oh, okay.
And I get to leave Morgantown?
Do y'all know that that's more than some NFL head coaches are making?
Yeah.
Dana Holgorsen at a non-Power 5. Let me tell you, the idea of coaching in the NFL where Steve Wilks got a year, and it's not any different in college, but Steve Wilks got 1 year. Guess what you can't do in the NFL? Leverage yourself, your position for extensions because you'll leave to other NFL jobs. Guess what you can do in college? Have your agent leak that there's interest in you from a team, from a program where someone was just fired and all of a sudden your school will run and give you even more money. Ask Kevin Sumlin. You can do that. Mm-hmm. College is the better job. You can recruit, like you were saying, you can go find guys to fit your system.
Lincoln Riley... Now, he's had a hell of a start, all right, as a coach, two Heisman winners, CFP appearances 2 years in a row, right? Fantastic stuff. He could have taken any job he wanted. And you know what he did? He said, I'm signing an extension. give me some more money, give me some extensions. Here we go, boom, let's get it going. And then when the Patriots job opens up, I'll go take that whenever I'm ready.
He didn't say that out loud.
Oh, he didn't say it?
No.
Okay, my bad. That was supposed to be off the record.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, the college is way better. College is way better. Now, there's situations where Charlie Strong, you get to a marquee job, and there's some pressure. Absolutely.
It doesn't.
And you don't live up to it, then you're out. But even he landed. He's back at a coaching.
The money now has gone from one point. It's gone from 1 million, 1.5. I mean, at some programs, it's still 600,000. But we now are at a point where University of Houston is paying a guy 20 million guaranteed.
How much is he making?
And you know what? And you know what? Now you could say with Major Applewhite, it shows you there's a lot of pressure here in Houston. I think it's a very winnable. Like, you can win at a high level. We've seen three coaches do it.
What pressure does Dana have?
Well,
what's his pressure?
Well, with the money they've given him, he's going to have some time. But
he's got to win. Yeah. No,
but he does have to win. We know, and they follow through. 8-4 is not what they're about.
Okay,
they said it, and they meant it. Well, which is what coaching is all about.
You're tied to a coach, though. Now, like, that is a huge hire, money wise, right? Because the buyout, all that stuff, the staff—they're going to spend a lot on the staff too. They're not going cheap with that.
He needs to win, or I think he needs to win. You know, he needs to be about like a 10-win guy.
And he's got the quarterbacks.
By what year? By what year?
I don't think.
Next year?
I don't think there's a timeline.
Not that he's going to get it fired, but
he's not gonna get fired.
I think people are going to expect him to win 10
games. Particularly with King coming back, right? He's only a junior.
But he's not coming back for a while. It was an ACL tear, wasn't it?
Well, those things.
No,
it takes like 8 months.
Yeah, he should be.
And he tore it.
Of course, he does a lot more running, but.
Yeah, it took a while. Well, I mean, I don't know if he'll be ready by.
I don't know. We see Deshaun tore his.
But he tore it in October.
No, I'm talking about in college.
No, early November.
Oh, in college.
Even in college, he tore it.
Yeah, early November, sorry.
He
tore it late in his, I think it's freshman year.
Okay.
Played, I think he got hurt against Georgia Tech. Maybe even played in the bowl game. I don't remember. But he was back to start 2015.
You know who else is back? Texas is back. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Longhorn Scott. Yeah.
Texas is back, folks.
Play the new one. From now on, you got to play the new one.
Yeah,
the same
updated
one.
Update.
Let's update this. No more clowning. Texas is back, folks.
We're back.
Let's get the real one.
No, we're back. It's not as fun.
We're back.
It's not as
fun. Can I give you one number real quickly? I know we're going to break. So Ryan Russillo pointed this out. How much is Dana Holgorsen making?
$4 million a year.
How many baseball managers do you think are making that much? Baseball man, a professional manager.
Six? It's going to be a little
five.
Well, college football is far more important than baseball.
Yes, it is.
The Cougars are important, yes. To them.
AJ Hinch shouldn't be making as much as Dana Holgorsen.
What?
One coach the sport that a lot of people
this
love.
This is kind of crazy.
The other
Dana
sport
makes more than AJ
sleep.
Hinch?
Yes.
He should.
I don't know about that, Dell. That's a professional sport with 162 games.
Barely.
81 home dates.
Barely.
Not barely.
Barely professional.
81 home dates.
But he gets to sit down and not do much. Dana's freaking out, drinking Red Bull to stay awake and be excited.
81 home dates. They're going to draw about the same
teenagers.
Amount of people. They'll draw about the same amount of people per game, right?
Alex Cora, successful?
Yeah.
Pretty successful. I think they redid his contract, so he's making a little bit more.
Hold up.
How much? Okay, guess Alex Cora's salary.
We'll give us the answer on the other side.
Yeah. All right.
Because we got to talk about
Write the number down.
Man, this is crazy to
write
start
the number
like
down.
That.
Him and with New York. All right. Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees.
The Yankees has got to be making
write
bank.
Your number down.
He's got to be making bank.
All right. First.
And once again, the kids don't deserve any money.
Hold on.
Let's go talk. Let's talk about our Rockets.
Go find out how much Mike D'Antoni makes. I'm now interested there because I can tell you what he's doing a hell of a job.
Is Tillman paying Holgorsen more than he's paying D'Antoni?
There's no way. I know this. Don't miss the Rockets' first home game of 2019.
Y'all better buy more tickets.
Save it. 2019 when the Rockets host the Denver Nuggets in a Western Conference showdown. Mix and match Monday ticket promotion presented by Rocket, Rokit. Purchase one all-inclusive ticket for as low as $20 to receive one free bottle of beer, soda, popcorn, or hot dog. You got that going on Rockets.com. And don't forget, you know, Rockets right now, James Harden was just named Player of the Month. He averaged over 36 points
per game in the month, and he is absolutely on fire right now. His best performance from the three-point line in his entire career, shooting over 40%. He is a wrecking crew, and you don't want to miss out on it. By the way, All-Star Weekend 2019 is right around the corner, and Rockets fans, you can help out. Houston Rockets All-Star voting presented by Ant Pool is underway. Go to Rockets.com and cast daily ballots for your Rocket All-Stars. Vote on your mobile phone with the NBA app or at NBA.com, or Google search your favorite Rockets to vote. It's that easy. It takes less than a minute to help Harden and the Rockets represent at the NBA All-Star Game. For more information, visit Rockets.com/All-Star.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:23. Longhorns smashed Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I didn't think it would happen. I thought Georgia would get all up in there. And as a two-touchdown underdog, Texas really owned Georgia from the very beginning. Just completely handled them, and it was impressive, and it was a physical performance.
It was crazy that a team that had beaten a CFP participant could hang with one that wasn't in the CFP. It was the wildest thing ever, and was one safety away from maybe taking a lead in the Big 12 championship game.
Well,
maybe. The momentum was all up until the corner blitz came.
What was the score at the time?
I think they were down 4.
Texas or Oklahoma?
Texas was down 4. Okay. They were down.
Okay. It is odd that Texas could compete at all with Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia close loss to Oklahoma. Georgia, who got their ass kicked by LSU. I mean, not close loss to Oklahoma, close loss to Alabama, which means more than anything else you could ever do on your schedule.
And they were uninterested to go to Baton Rouge and play against LSU.
Someone wrote, and it was funny, what did they write? Go, you're Georgia. You don't have the right to not be interested in playing Texas. You haven't done enough to not be interested in playing Texas.
I know, it's true.
No, but they that was the thing. Like, okay, it's about matchups. What if you just match up better against Alabama? And you get hyped up
Kirby
to play
them.
Kirby
built to beat them.
Yeah. And not only that, but you matched up and were hyped up to play Alabama because it was what, Dell? The first time around? It was the national championship game. And then in the SEC championship game, you have a chance to get into the CFP and avenge that loss. Of course your team's going to be hyped up and ready to play. Like, that's what's mind-boggling is. No one brings that up. You're telling me a team that was competing to be the best in all of college football showed up to play against Alabama. What? Mm-hmm. That's not allowed to happen. Come on.
Yet it did.
And their best win was a loss to Alabama. SEC outside of Alabama is built on losses. That's all it is. Go ahead, Longhorn Scott.
Bring him in.
Hey, well, Happy New Year, gentlemen. Gosh, where do we begin? So many little nuggets to cover. By the way, this morning I was catching up on some tech issues of NCAA Referees Quarterly. It's a little subscription service I get. Turns out the refs that did the A&M LSU game, turns out they just weren't interested in being there. So that's why they... Yeah. I don't know if that had made the rounds yet. By the way, I was also reading the Houston Business Journal. I always love to study the impact of sports on the economy. Apparently, not only is Holgorsen coming in to win a lot of games at U of H, by the way, you notice I said U of H, I'm starting the year off not only is he going to try to win a lot of ball games, but apparently everyone's very bullish on Bars, because apparently Bars are expected to do very well again in 2019. So that's a nice little thing for that sector.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what
have
that means.
Have the strip clubs in Austin had a boost since Tom Herman got there?
Ooh. Oh, that's now that's a low blow.
Yeah. No, but he likes massages. Zach Smith said
he likes massages.
I didn't say massages. I said strip clubs. You went to the massages.
But I'm just saying he likes massages, not strip clubs. He's over that phase.
No. Oh, he's moved
Dale,
on.
Hey, Dale, I got to say, I caught a movie over the holidays. It was that story about the big Miami booster. What was it called? The Mule? Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Oh, you're making Miami drug references. That really hits me in the heart. I don't care. Just watch football games.
Dale, my quarrel is in with you this morning. I got no quarrel with you, Dale. Happy New Year. But listen, so yeah, hell of a deal. I mean, it's just funny. I looked outside where my Aggie tear catcher, and it was full to the brim this morning. I mean, those guys, I think the only people more upset about the Georgia loss were more upset than Georgia fans or Aggie fans. I mean, my gosh, they went out from underneath our shadow, and here they are, shivering in our shadow again.
Like, oh, the Longhorns! Y'all put the Aggies back in your shadow?
Well, they never left it really, but that was their deal. They wanted out from our shadow. They wanted to leave, so they left. And I got to tell you what, I mean, to their credit, they did play in a really riveting, historic Gator Bowl in Jacksonville in front of literally dozens of people. So hats off to them for that. That was pretty impressive. But yeah, 3-1, the Big 12. I don't know if you heard. They're terrible. The Big 12, horrible.
Longhorn Scott is back, folks. Well, that one was against the SEC. So you didn't get that one. So the Aggies just smash their opponents and then they catch hell from Longhorn Scott again.
Yeah, Texas A&M is just out there celebrating their 12th man, getting a touchdown in garbage time. Let them have their moment.
Trayvon Williams is nice putting up, win, by the way, 236 yards rushing or whatever.
Ooh, Trayvon. That's a bad dude.
Well, he had a really good season this year. Led the SEC in rushing.
Hey.
Deciding whether or not he's going to go pro.
Him playing in the bowl game, there's obviously like, hey, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to hurt my stock, all that stuff, whatever. And then there's, I can make some money by playing in this bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Snell also, my God.
Mm-hmm. Benny Snell. You know, I was shocked at the amount of players who sat out who are just going to be draft picks. I mean, a lot of them are going to be first round picks. But it's to the point now where I think, and I don't even think this is a much of a reach, I think you're going to start to see players believe that it's not cool to play in bowl games. If you're going to be a draft pick, like, it's kind of corny if you go play in a bowl game instead of get ready for the draft, and you, like, you know, it has no cachet to go play in a bowl game. Like, it's kind of cooler not to play in a game. That means you're at a different level. If you're on that level where you're working out, you're not playing the bowl game. I think bowls are about to, I don't think people really understand how bowls are about to get blasted into oblivion. We saw it in West Virginia, what Dana had to deal with, where his quarterback, his linebacker. Wait, did David Long play?
I think he did play.
David Long may have played. Yadni Kajus, the left tackle, sat out. The left tackle ain't going on the first. So, I mean, you got a second-round left tackle who sat out. It's just going to fundamentally change where you're going to have a ton of guys sit out, and it's going to be one of those things where it's just like they just don't think it's cool to play in a bowl game. When that happens, the bowl games are going to have major, major issues.
Can I raise that and say that they've already had these issues, regardless of if the top guys were playing or not? Like,
I've heard that, but who were all these guys sitting out? John brought that up, too.
Not sitting out, but even if they were playing, like, the lower-tier bowls, if you're not part of that fan base or the alumni, are you really watching that bowl game anyways? I think it's more like with the New Year's Day bowls, those were more of the casual viewing.
I think fan bases, like Dale, you like, maybe you're saying he's more of a P1 for
Miami. Yeah, P1, but I think a casual fan, like, are you going to watch it? Like, for example,
like my wife,
the
will
Tax
watch.
Slayer Gator Bowl, the one yeah, the Aggies just won.
Watching it.
But if the Aggies weren't in it, if it was NC State against Missouri,
no, Aggies aren't watching that. You watch your own
that.
Team.
I'm not watching that. I'm not going to tune in. I wanted to see how A&M was going to do.
But you know what's weird is that that's
and that's always been the case, though.
No, I think it's more relatively new because there's the more bowls there's been, the more it's to me kind of watered it down. Mm-hmm. But it used to be you would just go, you just watch bowl games, like just turn it on mm-hmm. and you'd go watch your bowl games. It's bowl season, and now I feel like all sports has become more regional, where we care more about. I think it. I might be wrong, but I feel like everyone just cares much more about their own teams and not as much about others.
And there's more to watch, too. Like, I'm not going to watch the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl if a team I'm not interested is not or is in it or Forget is not that. In it because I want to watch Narcos.
Yeah, that's what I'm
right?
saying.
Like, there's more things that, to watch.
Yes, so I think that plays into it.
That's been the case for a while where, like, these lower-tier bowls, nobody's watching them anyways. There was once a time that we did watch them, but now nobody's watching them. I think it's more important when it impacts the bowls that people are still watching. I'm still watching the Rose Bowl. I still watch the Rose Bowl. I have no rooting interest, but it's because that is one of the big bowls, right? Like, I want to watch that. Those bowls, once they start getting impacted by ratings, then yes, then that's like, oh my God, we have a major issue here. I think the lower tier bowls, it's always been that case. Will Greer not playing or playing didn't impact the ratings.
Feasible? Here's my question. Is it financially feasible? And the reason I ask is, if you can't deliver a certain amount of people in the stands or in ratings, will the brand sponsors continue to put their money into a bowl?
Some will. Maybe not the biggest ones. Yeah, there's going to be a fight. Maybe there already has been a financial hit. Like, we don't know the numbers.
Right.
I don't know how much Tax Slayer is paying for the right. Gator Bowl. I don't right. know how much Camping World is paying for whatever bowl
they're
sponsoring.
I've always been a fan yeah. of cutting the bowls back. The idea that you can be 6-6 and go to a bowl game, and then people will make the mm-hmm. argument. One group of people will say, this is special to these kids who get to do it. Other group will say, they don't even get paid, so why should they do it? No yeah. one cares about bowls.
They still get a lot of swags, too. Like, yeah. Making people a bowl game is great
like
for
this,
the coaches.
That going to bowl games is not cool for players. It's yeah, real it's cool for cool. players. I mean, some are cooler than others. Some are yes. kind of not great. But it is. I've been to bowl games with my dad. Used to go to the Cotton Bowl and some of the, you know, I never went to... He went to Sun Bowl. He went to Cotton Bowl, something called the Garden State Bowl in New Jersey. Where they're in New York. He said he was in New York, and this is like 82, and he saw a guy running down the streets of New York with blood on his face, and there were two guys chasing him. And he's like, dang, this, because that's back when New York was hard.
Yeah.
New York was still the deuce. You're still watching the deuce.
There's no McDonald's in Times Square. Times Square was just a bunch of porn shops.
There's not a bunch of emos. When I say emos, I mean people dressed as emo who are trying to take pictures with you. And then they take off their hats and like, oh, this is... And then they want money. And they ask you to get... Have you seen that yet?
I've seen
where
that,
Where the emos try to bum rush you?
Yeah. $5?
Yeah.
I always just go... Sign language.
Do you... That didn't look like... I didn't think that was believable sign language
Del knows
at all.
This. Del knows this. Anytime I get hit with a... Not a homeless person, but somebody soliciting me for money.
Hit them with Urdu.
That one... Yeah, but you just never know, man.
Okay.
Google app. They just turn on the app. You can't turn an app on for sign language.
But your sign language looks garbage. That doesn't look real.
They don't know that.
They don't. Yeah. No one knows what real
sir,
sign language looks like.
Sir, you
want to
buy this bracelet? Like when we were in DC, there's a monks are walking around. Sorry, I know. You want to buy this bracelet? And I'm just going.
I'll talk in the song, gentlemen.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's how we already know when it's here. My dog will probably do it for Louis Bell. That's just all he know. He don't know nothing else. I tried to show him.
You tried to show him.
Yeah. I tried to show. Yeah.
Okay, now forward though.
What? What's wrong with Travis's?
Travis Scott
What's wrong with Travis's?
This is the part where everybody kind of likes it. And then you go, where's that Drake part again? Give it a new. Yeah. Forward the song.
Give it a loop.
Go back to Drake's part really fast. No, the second part.
No, he go back. He said go back.
Okay,
go on the forward. Now, like, right. Yeah.
That's how we
already
know when it's here. We got it.
Now go to Travis's part. Go to back to Travis's part. That's the part. There we go.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Can we forward up to when Drake is back on this?
What?
Give me that Drake.
You want to go back to...
Turn it up. Turn it up. Oh.
Well, where's the part in the background where Travis goes, like a light? Right here, watch.
That's Drake.
What? Hey. Not the one coming up. That was him going. Yeah. That was Travis.
On sight, yeah. Nothing nice, yeah.
Vegas in my eyes. Went to Travis part. Jesus Christ, yeah. Checks over stripes, yeah. That's what I like. That's what we like.
Lost my respect.
Not checks over stripes. When I shoot my shot, that's wetty like on checks. Watch, here comes Travis.
Wet like on book. Yeah.
Wet. That's lit. Watch. I'll be spinning valley circle blocks till I'm busy. Where's Travis part?
How about my verse?
This is Astro World. This isn't Drake World. She's in love with who I am. Back in high school, you already said this, Drake. He said this already previously in this whole thing. Did you hear that?
Hey, Travis, can we?
Like a light.
Have a second one. There
it just got lit. There it is. Finally, we got it.
Hey, Travis, can you really, at this point, can you just come in and hit us with a.
No, it's my song, guys. Why are you asking me to ad lib?
Wait, I'm not
just feature a quick.
Woo. It's featuring Drake, not Travis Scott.
No, Liam.
Oh man, this song's awesome. Light. Hey, can I get it now? Yeah, just do a
like a light. Oh my god!
Oh my god! We need to have Lance as the ad lib vocals for this song.
Find the instrumental and just do it.
Is there any place where there's just the Drake verse and we can have Lance pop it without Travis?
I don't know. Put a song on.
I don't know.
Put a Drake song on.
I'll just find any Drake song.
Find a Miley Cyrus song and let him ad lib it. I just want him to ad lib now.
I don't care what you put on. Put any of them on. Put early Drake, late Drake, middle Drake. Put Drake before he got swole.
Ad lib this. See what you got.
This isn't Drake.
I know it's not.
All right, fine. Hold on. I gotta wait until I feel it. Yeah. Welcome to the land of fame access. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy.
You guys can't see it, but the way he's manipulating his vocals, I don't know why you're putting your hand on your...
You don't have to use your hands to do that.
Oh my god, Lance Adams. Hit him with the It's Lit. And that's that segment.
I did get my auto-tune going with
oh my god. It's like a turkey. Do a gobble gobble.
It's just the same thing. It's the same it's gobble.
I didn't know I could do that, but I just doing that. We're back. I could do it with Sam. If you put Sam Ellinger on, oh my God.
I got auto-tune Sam Ellinger if you want.
All right.
All right, be for real, though.
Big Aggie Steve says, yeah, not in the mood for ass hat chest beatings. Chest beating this morning. Sorry, why?
So that's now
because there's a Longhorn Scott.
It's lit. Between the Aggies and Longhorns again. You know what would be great if they never played again?
I'm looking forward to them
though. Because the Aggies
again.
Say, we don't need to play you. And now Longhorns are going to say, we don't need to play you anymore, Aggies. Sorry.
Yeah. We just beat Georgia.
We just
we
beat Georgia.
We beat a real SEC team.
Yeah, we beat you basically. And the Aggies are going to be like, oh, all right, let's play then.
I'm sorry. You
run
guys
it back. And stop. They'll say, run it back. Like, run it back from what? Y'all haven't played for like a decade. What
stop
are we running
disrespecting
back?
Disrespecting the Aggies. They have a win over a CFP team.
I'm not disrespecting the Aggies. I think they're a good team.
They lost this, Clemson by two.
We're not doing
it. Yes, it is.
That's where it was. I was trying to think, like, where's where he'll run this whole their best wins or losses thing? I know I've heard him do this before. It was the Aggies.
They did.
With Clemson and Alabama. Your Clemson and Alabama losses.
Hold on. Stack up the resumes. Stack up the resumes. All right.
All right.
They were up until the OU game and Georgia game. They were the only team to play Alabama that close.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lost by three touchdowns?
Yeah, something like that.
Until that point.
Like 20 or 22, yeah.
Okay, but up until that point, they covered and they were the closest. And then they beat Clemson by losing only by two.
Well, but you don't beat somebody by
yes,
losing.
Yes, you do. Oh, Georgia just told me. Georgia's whole thing, their whole resume was built on losing to Alabama. They just told me that, SEC.
No.
The losses mean more.
Well, what about last year in the championship?
They lost to them.
Well, but it was a good loss, though.
It was a quality loss.
They've got two quality losses against
They're
Alabama.
They're taking college basketball resume building and
that
applying
is,
it's
RPI,
it's a
right?
top 10 loss.
That is an RPI builder right there.
College basketball is built on that also. Hey.
God,
I'm sorry. Look at that quality. We lost to Radford.
That is very.
We lost to Texas Southern.
That is very, very.
It is.
College basketball.
It works for college basketball teams, so why wouldn't you apply that same principle in college football? Because it's different. That's why.
There are more games in college basketball.
Yeah, which, by the way, Texas lost to Radford, tournament team. Texas A&M lost to Texas Southern.
Potential tournament team.
Weren't they a tournament team last year?
They might have been. I don't
yeah, they
remember.
Were. Remember, they won their conference to get in.
Yeah. Well, that you always have to
yeah.
in that conference. But yeah, Texas Southern, I think they made the tournament last year.
Yeah, and they weren't like a good team, but they just got hot.
They're a better team this year.
Yeah. So there it is, SEC. Your whole conference is built on losses except for Alabama.
I don't like the way this sounds.
Word, give me a good SEC win this year outside of Alabama.
A&M beat Kentucky.
Good
A&M
win.
Beat LSU.
Solid win.
Well, that's
solid.
LSU
same
beat
conference.
A team who hadn't been beaten for like 3 or 4 years.
You mean who?
No, they didn't have McKenzie
Milton.
Whose
resume are you talking about? A&M's? You mean good win?
No, just like weird, SEC in general.
Did it feel weird
well,
listening to people?
They're beating each other. I don't know if I want to count that. They're just playing their own conference.
But, Dale, didn't it feel weird hearing people like down UCF by saying, yeah, UCF finally got beat. You know, I mean, this kind of shows they're just not ready maybe. And I'm like, dude, McKenzie Milton wasn't
their
even playing.
Player.
That's
yes.
like not even close.
Now the
he
counter,
their Baker Mayfield.
Now their counter would be, well, LSU's DBs weren't available. That's fine. I didn't understand why we all of a sudden wanted to make LSU the people's champ. Like, thank you LSU for beating UCF. Why?
Well, because we got tired of listening to UCF run their nonsense.
Really?
They would have got their heads cracked open.
So did everybody else. At
so
least
what?
Give them a shot.
Notre Dame got their heads cracked open.
Clemson got their heads cracked in last year.
Well, first of all, you could never let UCF in the playoffs this year with no McKenzie Milton. I remember when
yeah,
that happened. When
that's fine.
Kenya Martin, Cincinnati didn't get a one seed after he tore his knee up and was lost for the year, and they lost in the conference tournament way back in the day, and I remember they didn't get a one seed. And it's because you knew you can't give them a one seed when the best player is gone.
Absolutely. This year, I agree. Hey, well, how about last year?
I wish they would have played.
They were rolling last year.
I wish they would have played.
Yeah, and they would have gotten smashed just like Clemson did.
Yeah, but they're not Clemson.
I know they're not, but they would have been smashed.
And then it would have done more damage. Yeah. It almost does smaller schools more by not being in, because then you can say, if we were there...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can run that yak, just like Georgia could have about Notre Dame until Texas beat them. They could have said, oh, this is why y'all wanted Notre Dame? Let your boy Georgia in, watch what happens. And then Sam Ellinger goes 5 touchdowns on them or whatever.
And they're just like, CFP's like, well, Georgia, look.
We gave you Texas. They're a four-loss team, and they dominated you.
Georgia, you had a shot. You had a shot, Georgia. You had a chance. Georgia, you had a chance to get in there. You didn't. I'm sorry.
You couldn't even beat the Big 12's afterbirth.
Okay. Whoa, hey, Dell.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back in. Final segment of this show. 9 o'clock to 9:30. We're gonna do the F Boys hour, half hour. That's our official from 9 to 9:30. Granato said, "Let's call it the F Boys," and we can do that. We can say F Boys.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
So, hopefully, we'll be one of the first to have Dana Holgorsen on the air, the new head coach, University of Houston. Dana versus head coaches in the city of Houston. Does he make more than Bill O'Brien? Yes or no?
No, he can't. NFL coach.
Bill O'Brien made $5 million in 2017. Oh, he makes more than some NFL coaches.
That's what I was going to say. How many NFL coaches are below him?
Probably 10.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's the pinnacle.
Lowest paid NFL coaches.
He makes more than every baseball manager except for six.
He makes more than every major league. And once again, I'm going to say this again, 81 home dates. Now you got more players to pay. You don't have to pay the college players. Well, that helps.
Scholarships.
I'm trying to think.
You're on the road for like 9 months in baseball. He makes more. He makes three times more than Aaron Boone.
Pete Carroll, this is old.
Yeah, we'll have to find the NFL.
He makes more than the Yankees manager.
Yeah.
That's insane.
How much do you think the Yankees manager makes? Aaron Boone, and doesn't have the experience. All right, this is the first time.
$4.5 million.
Lower.
$4 million.
Lower.
$3 million.
Way lower.
Way lower?
Way lower.
In New York?
In New York.
$2 million?
Lower.
What? What do baseball managers make? 1.5?
Alex Cora was making 800,000. He was making 400,000.
With the Astros?
No. Red Sox.
Shut up. That's not... I'm going to look that
look
up.
It
There's
up.
No way that's possible.
Yeah. That's how I can't believe
it. A major league manager in Boston was making $400,000.
Yep. They redid his contract, and David, thanks for the tweet, it ended up being $800,000 now.
So hold up. You understand that at $400,000, he was probably making more with the Astros when you factor in cost of living.
Yeah.
That I can't believe that. And
I'll give you a salary.
We keep harping on Dana because that's a brand new contract that we know here in Houston. It's $4 million a year for 5 years. But let me ask you this. Does Dana Holgorsen make more than Mike D'Antoni? The same owners, Tillman Fertitta.
No chance. No, the NBA head coach with success, with a resume.
Look it up. How much?
I already know what it is.
Okay, what is it?
He makes $1 million less per year. At last check, I don't know if
D'Antoni makes five.
I saw he signed 3 years, 3 years, $15 million.
Okay.
Okay.
That was in 2016. I don't know if what it's been redone for or whatever, but
he's got an NBA head coach has got to make more.
Okay, here's the list.
But he makes more than A.J. Hinch. I can't believe how low Major League Baseball
is. This is according to Arizona Central, and it's a USA Today site also. So the numbers might be a little outdated, but it says as of 2018 season, here are the numbers. So give me A.J. Hinch, $1.2
million. Wow.
And
that is unbelievable.
Our guy David Johnson brought it up. It's now baseball has turned into a general manager's league.
Yeah, that's
it really
fair.
Is. Like, you're an extension of the GM,
that's
right?
Fair.
Like, that's fair. Yeah. That's fine. Alex Cora, $800,000. I'm looking up other big names. Aaron Boone, $1.15 million. and you start getting in the 4 million range starts in the top five. So five managers are making 4 million or more. There you go. See all your calls.
Look at all the Aggies, Longhorns, UT, yeah. Dana Holgorsen. Let me ask you this. Is this the best? When is the last time that Texas and Houston, well, I'll just make it easy. Texas, Houston, I think Baylor's got a great coach. I think Matt Rhule's a great coach. I think Patterson is a great coach. When you look at A&M, Texas, Baylor, Houston, TCU, I have to go through all of them. This is the state of Texas has some strong coaches right now. Oh, the Utah Matt Wells, time will tell, but I've always had a very healthy respect for Utah State and what he did there. I think the state of Texas, this might be the best that they've had it from a coaching standpoint in a long, long, long time.
And it changed really fast because last season, beginning of last season, it got off to a rough start for all the Texas teams.
Yeah.
And remember, the talk was like, what's happening in Texas? All the schools are struggling. So in one season, you give somebody some time, things work out just a little bit.
It can.
All right, so we're going to do the F-Boys Hour next. Lance is around. Dell's coming on this side. Jose Partida's here. It's going to be some fun. We see all your calls. We'll get them. We'll do that next.
With all due respect to everyone, f*** everyone.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN.